went on the cross of Calvary. The Lord was crucified. The mob stood round about him, and they mocked him until he died. And there were two thieves hanging there beside him, just to share the agony. But one of them cried out, "Oh Lord, remember me." Oh, what a shame to kill him. Oh, out there on that old rugged cross. But such a death, it was needed just to rescue all of us that was lost. Oh, God's blood, it's made a ransom. Oh, just to set the captains free. Oh, and when I reach those pearly gates, oh yeah, I know God will remember me. Oh, will the Lord, to kill him. Oh, out there on that old rugged cross. But such a death, it was needed just to rescue, yes, all of us that, yes, was lost. Oh, God's blood, it's made a ransom. Hallelujah. Oh, just to set the captives free. And I know, hallelujah, I know, yes, I know that I'm included. Yes. I know God will remember me. Yes. Oh, with the Lord,
will the Lord,
the Lord.
Remember me when I call, when I am called.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, it is such a blessing to know that I will not be forgotten. I mean by you. I know that there are people whose names I have forgotten. Sometimes some show up personally and I can't remember them by looking at them. But I'm so thankful, Lord, to know that I've never been forgotten by you. I pray for those who may not be with us today, some because of being homebound, hospitalized, some dealing with issues and problems that they can't accommodate and take care of. I pray for those who desire to be here today, to hear the praises that have been given through those who have been singing, and the friendly and loving handshakes and hugs that have been demonstrated, and for the love that has been communicated, Lord, in an unspeakable way and manner. I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In Christ's name, I pray. It's good to be here today. Thank God for your presence and your participation. All that have been said in various means of communicating, particularly those who have been singing praises to your name with words that have meaning and bring encouragement to our hearts and our minds. And now I stand, Lord, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. The message that I want to briefly share today is the Lord's laborer's reward. You've already heard it said, it pays to serve Jesus. But our reward in completion has not yet come. We have been blessed by God when we were dedicated to him, and when we weren't, he has blessed us. But one day there will be a day and a time, not only in time, but eternity, when joy will transform our memory. And it'll be a blessing that we cannot even fully understand in our mind. We'll be shouting for a long, long time. I want to reread what the young lady read this morning very well. And thank God for all that the children and young people are constantly doing in this church. But 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with 51, I just want to share this reading and say a few words. Paul writing said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." He's saying not all of us are going to die, but we shall be changed. I think about it sometime. That's verse 51. I'm glad I'm not worried about being changed in a negative way, but in a positive way. I'm going to look better than I look now. Y'all looking at me mighty funny, but it's going to improvement. I don't look good as I used to look. Don't y'all be looking at me all funny and everything. Because I've been at this a long time. But he says, in a moment of twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That's the word of God. I didn't make that up. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when it happens, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and my mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Can I say that again? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm sure I'm not the only one here today who have worked faithfully and properly without receiving sufficient pay. I don't know about you for sure, but it was shameful and painful that the best job I could get didn't pay hardly worth my being there on my benefit. But the company for whom I worked, they got good benefits. And I served, I remember, 7 years making less than a dollar and a quarter. I also am aware of the people who join church primarily to be blessed without becoming a servant. I'm not trying to be negative toward anybody, but there are a lot of folk in church who want to be blessed, but they don't want to serve. I'm dealing with the text. I have seen people who work on jobs expecting, almost demanding, adequate pay without earning it. My focus today is on how many believers and Christians desire blessing from the Lord, both in this life and in the life to come, but never get involved in the work. God expects all of us to become laborers. Let me reference a couple of verses regarding work. Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus says, "My Father is working." Spoke a world into existence, created everything that has long listed. And Jesus said, not only my Father worketh hitherto, I work. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it's day. Because night comes when nobody will be able to work. God the Father worked. God the Son worked. And every believer in Jesus Christ, everyone that have received the blessings of God's amazing grace, is expected to be laborers in the body of Christ. I wasn't expecting to get any shoutings off of this yet. What we are told in this word, and thank God for it, the fulfillment of Scripture Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's fulfillment of Scripture. You talk about being paid. Just think how well we are going to be. No pain, no shame, no problems, no issues, no disrespect, no mocking. All of that will be over with. I don't know necessarily how many people think about the Word of God, but I thank God for His Word. And one of the writers said, how glad they are. First of all, the fulfillment of Scripture is going to be fulfilled. Every promise that's given to us in this sacred Word of God is going to happen just exactly like it says. By the inspired word of God, by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, how I wish that every child of God would take advantage of every lesson taught in the Word of God. First of all, the fulfillment of Scripture. Standing on the promises. We can stand firmly on the promises of God. Everything that He says He will do is going to be done. Nobody will be able to stop it, and He'll never change His mind. Every time I read a blessing in the Word of God, I just think about it. Lord, look what I got coming to me. I really thank God for that song. It said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I can stand firm on the promise of God. And I've had people to promise me all kind of stuff and didn't show up. But God doesn't operate that way. First of all, the fulfillment of Scripture. I just thank God for this word, I think. Every bit of it is going to be fulfilled. From Genesis to Revelation. That's a promise God made. Secondly, not only the fact, the fulfillment of Scripture, but the fact of sin. Fact of sin. Verse 51, I read again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Some folk won't even have to go to the graveyard. Don't have to worry about all that stuff. They're going to be caught up from where they are. But then I want you to think with me, the fullness of salvation. Fullness of salvation, 57 says. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing that is. Gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've had some failures in my life. Amen. Everything has not been victorious. But He never left. He never turned His back on me. But the good part in 57, look, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us. We can sing victory in Jesus because He gives us the victory. In other words, you're a winner. Every person that gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and become born again, victory is coming. You can sing victory in Jesus, but folk can see victory in you. I've been at this for a long, long time. Been preaching a long time, pastoring a long time, working a long time, taking care of a wife a long, all of those things, but I've had victory because Jesus gives us the victory. I pastored in 3 or 4 churches, and every time there was victory, not because of me, but because of who's in me, because of the one that enables me. People always predicted it. He ain't gonna make it. I said, you better watch what you're talking about. You'll see what it means to get made. But I recognize right now as I stand before you, I am who I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. I thank God that God is a gracious God. I'm glad that he's a loving Father. I'm glad that he cares and takes care of us, that we put our faith and our confidence in him. And I know y'all used to hear me say a whole lot of time, he walks with me, talks with me, and tell me that I'm his own. And the joy we share, folks used to look at me like I was crazy. I'd be driving and singing. Good thing they couldn't hear it. Bad enough when they looked at me and saw me trying to do it. That's bad enough. But I had joy in my heart, joy driving, because God done blessed me to have a car to drive. You understand what I'm saying? Gave me a good license, didn't have. You know what I'm really trying to say? I had some money to put some gas in the car and all that, and had an automobile that would drive and run. God been so good to me. I can't brag about my doing, but I tell you, God's grace is sufficient. I know that. And he loves us so much that he wants to bless us in every situation. The fullness of salvation. Please understand, the fullness of salvation. It covers all of it. Well, I told you I wasn't going to stay long. And I heard somebody say thanks. I believe that's what, maybe that was what I heard. Maybe it wasn't. But anyway, I was talking about our faithfulness. I've talked to you about the fulfillment of Scripture, the fact of sin, the fullness of salvation. But I want to talk right now about the faithfulness of service. We are to work with our eyes on the rule. First of all, be steadfast. Lord have mercy. It's talking about those of us who are children of God. Be steadfast, which means firmly fixed. I like that song said, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. Wherefore, my be steadfast. Every one of us ought to be steady, dependable in our service to God. Be steadfast. Have you seen wishy-washy folk? I don't know which is witchy and which is watchy, but you understand what I'm talking about. Something ain't right about it. You can tell that's how you can figure it out. That ain't right. You know what I mean? But really and truly, I think every child of God ought to be steadfast. Not let somebody snatch you away by talking against you or doing something else, and all of those kind of things. We ought to be steadfast. Not showing up every once in a while when I'm getting in the right mood. We ought to show up, stand up, and carry on the responsibility that God has given to us. Be steadfast. Don't you feel bad when you expecting somebody to show up and they don't show? Talk about how much they love God. Talk about how much we love the church. Talk about you love the pastor. Talk about how you love the choir members. You understand? And then don't show up? We need to learn how to be steadfast. My father worked for less money than I did, but every day he was on the job. Amen. Taught me how to be on the job every day. And I thank God for that. And I think that when we become members of the family of God, we ought to recognize every time we have a house, opportunity to come to the house of God and to celebrate together, but to serve together, both of those things. How God blesses us. Firmly fixed. Amen. I've been told from time to time I wouldn't make it, but I made it by the grace of God. I'm being steadfast. And then the second one says, and unmovable. Lord have mercy. In other words, cannot be moved. Just because folk talk about you, they say you can't do as well as somebody else and this kind of thing, be steadfast. I'm talking about how church members ought to be in the family of God. Be steadfast. It applies also, as I said, also on the job. We ought to be steadfast in our marital relationship. Ought to be steadfast. Amen. Too many people are together for a little while. They separate back, maybe get together again. But learn how to be steadfast. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up because of what God has given us the opportunity to do. It doesn't work very well when you one way today and something else tomorrow. And I said it before and I said it again. I may not be all that, but I am what I am and who I am by the grace of God. Been talked about, lied on, and everything else. Mocked, but steadfast by the grace of Almighty God. We should not allow somebody that's talking about us to turn us away from the church of the living God. We ought to be here doing what we're supposed to do and being what we are supposed to do as the people of God. Be steadfast. Unmovable. And finally, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to read that. Always, beloved, be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means abundance. I told you, I've said this many times. People have asked me so many times, Lincoln, when are you going to slow down? Why you go so much? Well, here it is in the Bible. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. An abundance of supporting and serving. I've been told so many times, you ought to slow down. Read the Bible. We got too many folks who slow right now. I know I'm right about this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I told you earlier that my father worked on this farm all these many years. But he was up before the sun's up, milking and feeding the animals and all that. Then take one of the animals and go out in the field and plow the corn and everything else. And come in at night. Have to milk the cows. I mean, having milked the cows and all these kinds of fed the cows, fed the animals. Always. I saw it all my life. All of his life. That's how my father was. Caring for his father 9 miles away. Taking food to him on Sundays when he wasn't able to. Had no other way of getting it to him. He'd take a Sunday and take him walking 9 miles. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord have mercy. Always abounding. That word abounding is overflowing. Folk will tell you that you ought to slow down. You ought to stop doing this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I find people all the time in worldly stuff, they don't seem to ever get tired. When they go from this thing to that thing and this thing to that thing, and when you come to the house of God, it's not the same. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why? For as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Songwriter put it this way, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays each step of the way. And I praise God every day of my life. Been married a long, long time. God is still blessing my wife. And God is still blessing me. Sometimes better than other times. But I tell you, he's always on time. He came that we might have life, and he came that we might have it more abundantly. It didn't say that he came that we might have stuff, but that we might have life. Let me tell you, life. When Jesus takes habitation within us, joy bells will ring when trouble abounds. He's a way maker. He knows how to make a way out of no way. He knows how to pick us up when we're falling down. He'll give us life like no other. I'm so glad that I know him. And I'm so glad that I was 9 years old and I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lie down, thou weary one, lie down, thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was. Didn't know much, didn't have much, couldn't do much, but it sure is a wonderful thing what he can do with you. You don't have to be all that. He'll make you what you thought you couldn't be. He'll do for you what you thought you couldn't ever have. And I'm so glad. I really am so glad, and I want to tell you that I got some real joy deep down on the inside of me. I'm so glad to know that one of these days that this trumpet is going to sound, and it's going to sound aloud. Amen. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and those of us that are still alive, in case that is the case, I'm going home to see Jesus. And when I've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, I'll be shouting. You know what I'm really trying to say? I don't know what heaven is really going to be like, but when I get there, I'm going to show off. You know what I'm really trying to say? I've been serving God all this time, and he had all these promises that he's going to give to me. And I tell you, when I see the beauty and the glory and the blessings and the loved ones and all of that that's already gone before me, I'm going to have some shouting time. You know what I am? Anybody feel like shouting every now and then in your life? Anybody got some joy and some happiness in your life? It's just so good to have Jesus in your life. I'm glad today, every day of my life, he keeps on blessing me. Every day of my life, he just keeps on blessing me. Joy in the Lord is my strength. And this is my message. Amen. Amen. Invitation time in the house of God. Invitation time in the house of God. You're here without Christ. He's already given his life so that you can have life. The short life that we have on earth will be changed for those who put Jesus Christ first in their life. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things, stuff, shall be added unto you. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. If you don't have a church home, we're serious church members. For 9 years, almost 10, God has continued to bless. We've had challenges. We've had issues, problems, but he never left us. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the minds of men and women what God's going to do. But it's told us in this book called the Bible. If you're here without Christ, let today be that day. In a church home, need it to be today.